welcome to the Truth Labyrinth Podcast. I am your host, J.R. Everhart from Restoration Ministries. This week, we look into Celebrate Recovery's step study program titled The Journey Begins. Celebrate Recovery is a Christian 12-step program. The step study series is a 26-lesson deep dive into the steps. We kind of take the steps and tear them apart and put them under the microscope and take a look at how they can better apply to our hurts, habits, and hang-ups in life. This is not a replacement for face-to-face meetings, so please go to your local Celebrate Recovery meeting and get involved in a face-to-face step study. Trust me, it will change your life. You will hear me say that over and over throughout this teaching series. So you can go to celebraterecovery.org and do a search in your area, and you will find a Celebrate Recovery in your area. They are literally everywhere. There's thousands of those operating in churches all over the country. So make sure you strap in and hold on, because this is going to be a wild ride. It's going to get bumpy, it's going to be clumsy, and it's going to be uncomfortable at times. But the benefits far outweigh the discomfort that we deal with as we look inside the mirror of God's Word and our behavior. So you do not want to miss a second of this teaching series. Hi, I want to talk to you for a second about my company, COP Audio. COP Audio has been a leader in the Mid-Atlantic since about the mid-90s with all forms of production work, both inside the church and outside the church. We're well known for our mobile audio services and production services for live concerts and festivals. But we also have just as rich of a history inside the church scene. Church production has definitely been a passion of mine since I became a Christian in 1994. I have worn many hats during this time inside of the church scene. You know, things like having to be light designer and video producer, teacher, training staff, been tech director at a couple different churches. It's something that I've always been very passionate about and genuinely felt like it was part of my Christian ministry. I've trained personally dozens and dozens of tech people and tech staff throughout the Mid-Atlantic. I've traveled around and done sound reinforcement workshops and AV workshops on site with the church tech teams that I'm working with, kind of help them get the best out of the systems that they have in place. So, give us a call, check us out. We'd love to help out your church. We'd love to maybe even talk to you about doing a system upgrade or an install. Maybe you just need someone to come in and make sense of the gear that you have. That's my specialty, and I've been doing that for many, many years. So check us out online at copaudio.com. That's copaudio.com. Be sure to check out and like our Facebook page, COP Audio. Just search COP Audio on Facebook. Be sure to read our reviews on the Facebook page. There's a lot of reviews on there from our clients, and I think it'd give you some perspective on who we are as a company. So again, online, copaudio.com, copaudio.com. Hello and welcome back. Today we conclude the Celebrate Recovery, The Journey Begins step study program with lesson 25. Lesson 25 is merely a lesson of seven reasons we get stuck. So it's kind of an add-on, icing on the cake kind of lesson, because it's not bound by the eight principles or 12 steps, although those ideas are wrapped up in this. This is kind of a bookend to the program. Seven reasons we get stuck. As you complete your journey, you will discover the rewards of sponsoring newcomers. Your role as a sponsor will be to help others along their journey on the road to recovery by guiding them through the principles and steps. Your task is not to pick them up and carry them through the steps, but to stand alongside them as they complete their journey. I can't stress that enough. A big mistake that I made early on as a sponsor, and a big mistake I see other people doing as accountability partners and sponsors, is they try to carry that burden for the person. And that person will let you do it. Trust me. And that is a ticket to nowhere. I promise you that will not work out. It will just frustrate you. All we are called to do is to listen with a humble heart and with love, and to implant wisdom and to share our testimony. What those people do with that information and with that wisdom and with that help is entirely up to them. You cannot come alongside them and make them do X, Y, or Z. And I have lived that out in my own life, especially with chemical guys. I've had guys literally say, man, if I relapse, I want you to force me to this and force me to that and, you know, blah, blah, blah on this side. And it's like, man, it don't work that way. You know, they're looking for an easy out. They're looking for a way to get through this without having to do the hard work of facing the truth of who they really are. Stepping out of denial. That's a very hard process. Step one is very hard. You know, so just be super careful of that, you know. At times we may need to slow them down when they are moving through the steps too quickly. And or we may need to speed them up when they are stuck alongside of the road of recovery. There are seven major areas in which I have seen individuals get, quote unquote, stuck at some point in their recoveries. It is important that you are familiar with each of them so you help them get unstuck. And listen, you're gonna get stuck, okay? This is not a derogatory lesson that is pointing toward your epic failure, okay? Don't take it that way. That's not what this is meant to be. Every single one of us, if you work this program like you're supposed to, you stay in it, you know, for any length of time, you're going to find periods of your recovery process that you're going to feel stuck. So here's how we get out of that. Here's the answer to those problems. I've been stuck multiple times in my recovery. It's not hard to get stuck. Getting stuck comes natural, you know. You got to work to get unstuck. So the first one is you have not completed the work in a previous principle. Perhaps you are trying to move through the principles too quickly. Slow down. Give God time to work. Remember, this program is a process. It's not perfection. You know, I always say that, you know, if you're only moving an inch a day, you're still miles ahead of everyone that's not trying, which is most of the general public. Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You know, there's a reason why this step study teaching series I've done this season has taken a year to do. Because it takes about 9 months when you got guys that are really healthy and really trying to move through the program. I've seen it take a year easily with guys that are struggling and trying to, you know, digest these steps and principles one step at a time. You know, I can remember being in step study classes where we didn't even get to the lesson. You know, we were sitting there, you know, bearing one another's burdens and helping each other and that sort of thing. That is not out of the ordinary. You know, that sort of stuff happens. You will occasionally get, you know, a teacher who just wants to get through the series and plow through the series. You know, I'm not really that guy. I mean, there's a time when you need to push forward because you'll get stuck, especially around like inventory and around, you know, making amends and things like that. But most of the time, you need to, you know, digest this one bite at a time. You eat the elephant one bite at a time. The next one is you have not completely surrendered your life and your will to the Lord. Perhaps you are trusting Jesus with the big things, but you still think you can handle the small things. I can tell you now, you can't handle either one. You need Jesus for all that stuff, man. For good judgment and common sense, trust the Lord completely. Don't ever trust yourself. In everything you do, put God first, and He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. That's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Man, that is manna from heaven right there. Let me read it again. For good judgment and common sense, trust the Lord. Not JR, not, you know, Sister Susie sitting next to you, not your wife, not your pastor. Trust the Lord completely. It doesn't say halfway. It says completely. Don't ever trust in yourself. I know that sounds kind of cynical in today's self-sufficiency driven, you know, society that we live in, where you're deemed as weak and without value if you can't be self-sufficient. But I'm telling you right now, if you lean on your own self-sufficiency, you will fail every single time. Oh, you might get a little bit of victory for a short time. I'm not saying you can't, but it's not going to stick like it needs to. And you're going to get stuck in this rut of, you know, a cycle of failure of trying and failing and trying and failing because you're trying to do it in your power. You cannot overcome addiction or compulsive behavior in any way, shape, or form on your own or in and of your own power. It does not work that way. I'll never forget the first counseling session I sat in 10 years ago where my counselor told me I needed to do X, Y, and Z, and I laughed in her face. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do that. Those are fundamental things in my life that I've always used to cope with trauma and cope with, you know, depression and things like that. And she's like, you're right. In your power, you can't do it. But through Christ, anything is possible. All things are possible through Christ. Through Christ. The Bible says we are overcomers through Christ Jesus, not through JR, not through your pastor, not through your sponsor, through Christ Jesus. We got to keep our eyes on him. That's our only hope of getting this to stick. In everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. Imagine that. God following through with what he said he was going to do. He's going to crown your efforts with success. Think about that. Next one, you have not accepted Jesus' work on the cross for your forgiveness. You may have forgiven others, but you think your sin is too big to be forgiven. 1 John 1:9 says, but if we confess our sins to him, he can be dependent on to forgive us from every wrong. I struggle with some of these different translations. I'm a King James guy. So bear with me. The next supporting scripture here is Ephesians 1:7. So overflowing in his kindness towards us, he took away all our sins through the blood of his son, by whom we are saved. Have you forgiven yourself? Remember, therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. It's my favorite scripture in the whole Bible. Romans 7:8 is my jam. That's where I live. Romans 7:8. Love those two chapters of the Bible. But 8:1 is the climax of those two chapters, you know, where, you know, in 7, you know, Paul's wrestling with sin and sees a law in his members and a law in his spirit, and they're warring against each other. Oh, wretched sinner am I, what am I to do? And then it just nails it with the, you know, first verse of the next chapter, chapter 8. You know, therefore is no more condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So I have a lot to say about this, but I'm going to like give you the Cliff Notes version, because this is a whole podcast episode with this idea of self-forgiveness. I really thought I was forgiving myself. Probably took me 5 or 6 years inside of recovery before I actually started to even begin to scratch the surface of forgiving myself and learning how to love myself. It did not come natural, and it did not come easily. It took a lot of self-examination. It took a lot of cutting myself a break and getting a divine revelation of God's grace and mercy and the work Christ really has done on the cross to free me from the penalty of my sin. I highly suggest the Ragamuffin Gospel by Brennan Manning that lays out that idea of God's gospel of grace. You know, Google Brennan Manning and read his story. He got kicked out of the priesthood as a Catholic because he was a raging alcoholic, and he ended up being just an enormous superpower for the faith. And that book really helped me. I remember reading the first chapter. I'll never forget it to the day I die. Reading the first chapter of that book and then just sitting and absolutely weeping for about 30 or 40 minutes. Because it confirmed everything that I had ever suspected about God. It just brought it home, man. Just really brought it home. And I'm going to leave it at that. But finding self-forgiveness is not easy. And you may have to forgive yourself 1,000 times before it starts sticking and you start believing it. But it is at the core and is one of the foundational blocks, maybe one of the biggest foundational blocks your sobriety will stand on. So make sure you dig into that good and hard. Next, you really have not forgiven others who have harmed you. You must let go of the pain of past hurt and abuse until you are able to release it. If you're able to release it, forgive it, it will continue to hold you as a prisoner. You know, holding on to unforgiveness is like drinking poison and thinking it's going to hurt the other person. I just had this exact conversation with a very close friend of mine 2 days ago. They're holding on to a bunch of abuse issues with a parent from their childhood, and they're just not there yet where they're ready to, you know, let go of that hate and bitterness. But they understand that they do have to do that. And that's a huge step in the right direction. Again, guys, this is about progress, not perfection. It's a process. This is not an overnight sensation. You know, so sometimes it takes months or even years. I've seen decades play out where people couldn't just get to that place where they could release all that hate, anger, and bitterness that they have toward someone who has hurt them or abused them. And that's kind of jammed up their growth. And it will jam up your growth. You go back to the lesson that talks about this, the amends lesson, you know, and stuff like that. Listen to my comments in that lesson, and you'll hear me, you know, driving that point home. It's very, very important that you learn to let go of that unforgiveness, because it's a cancer and will just make you emotionally numb and will always bring anger and bitterness to the surface. Next, you know, you are afraid of the risk of making the necessary change. You may be paralyzed by the fear of failure. You may fear intimacy because of the fear of rejection or of being hurt again. You may resist change, growth, because of the fear of the unknown. Yeah, I'm kind of that guy. I hate change, you know, and it's hard for me. I'm a complete control freak, you know, and it's tough for me to let go of that stuff. It just is, you know. So some supporting scriptures here is Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. That's God promising you he's going to be there for you. He's got your back. He's covering your six. So the next scripture is Hebrews 13:6. That is why we can say without any doubt or fear, the Lord is my helper, and I am not afraid of anything that mere man can do to me. Yeah, Hebrews 13:6. So those are promises, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament, that God has got your back, man, but you got to believe he does. You got to, you know, have faith that he's got you. Next, you're not willing to own your responsibilities. I think this kind of goes back to, you know, digesting the truth about yourself in a healthy way. You know, you need to take responsibility for your past in a broken relationship, a damaged friendship with a distant child or parent, and so forth. Examine me, O God, and know my mind. Test me and discover if there is any evil in me, and guide me in the everlasting way. That's Psalms 139:23. Huge, super huge stuff. And I'm going to warn you right now, there needs to be a warning label on that scripture. When you ask God to examine you and to know your mind and to test you and to discover if there's anything evil in you, and then to guide you into the everlasting way, which is growth, restoration, and healing, hold on to the bar, you know, because it's going to be a roller coaster, because he will do exactly that. He will examine you. He will open your eyes to his understanding. He will open your eyes to the truth of who you are. And sometimes that can be a little tough to digest, you know. Make sure you got your sponsor there with you as you walk out that process, and you're surrounded by healthy, supportive people who've been in the program long enough to know how hard that jagged little pill is to swallow. Finally, you have not developed an efficient support team. Do you have a sponsor or an accountability partner? Do you have the phone numbers of others in your small group? Do you or have you volunteered for a commitment in your recovery ministry? And then we have some supporting scriptures here. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Be with wise men and become wise." And let me add to that, you can't become wise if you're not hanging out with wise men. It's like if you're an amateur basketball player, if you start playing with some pros, guess what? You'll become a much better basketball player. Same way here. If you hang with people who are wise, you yourself will become wise. But be with evil men and become evil. So it's like Dad always said, if you run with the dogs, you get the fleas. You're only as good as the company you keep. Galatians 5:13, "Dear brothers, you have been forgiven." I'm sorry, "You have been given freedom. Not freedom to do wrong, but freedom to love and serve each other." Let me read that again. "Dear brothers, you have been given freedom, not freedom to do wrong, but freedom to love and to serve each other. Galatians 5:13. And then finally, Galatians 6:2 tells us share each other's troubles and problems and so obey the Lord's command, and that is to love one another. What was the Lord's command? We read that back a couple lessons ago about love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love each other as you'd love yourself. We have a final word here from John Baker, God rest his soul, who was the man that wrote this program. Congratulations, you have completed all 8 principles and all 12 steps. I do not have to tell you that this has not been an easy accomplishment. There have been many rewards found in a Christ-centered program. There are many rewards found in a Christ-centered program. It is important that you share your miracle with others. You are a living example of God's grace. I pray for your continued growth in Christ, your recovery, and your service to others. Below, please find Celebrate Recovery's daily action plan for serenity. In his steps, John Baker. And then below, we've got Celebrate Recovery daily action plan for serenity. Number 1, daily, continue to take your inventory. When you are wrong, promptly admit it. Number 2, daily. All these things are daily things. Daily, study God's word and pray, asking God to guide you and help you apply his teachings and will in your life. Finally, number 3, daily, work and live the 8 principles to the best of your ability, always looking for new opportunities to help and serve others, not just at your recovery meetings, but in all areas of your life. And ladies and gentlemen, that concludes The Journey Begins, Celebrate Recovery, Step Study Teaching Series. If you have found value in this podcast, please consider giving to this ministry. The Truth Labyrinth is only one aspect of Restoration Ministries. We raise money regularly for needy people right here in our own community. Just this past Christmas season, we raised over $1,000 for a woman struggling with spinal cancer and was able to bring hope to someone who had lost all hope. We've bought handicap vans for the disabled. We paid utility bills for single moms. And we've paid for hundreds of casual meals for those who were in need of one-on-one counseling, but uncomfortable with an office environment. Listen, guys, sometimes it's much easier for someone to open up and ask for help over a meal than it is to walk into a counselor's office and lay on a couch. God has and is using Restoration Ministries in ways that break traditional church protocol. I personally believe we have to earn the right to speak into someone's life, and it takes time to build those bridges, many times unraveling years of church hurt and dysfunction. This is what Christian ministry should look like in today's world. God should be glorified through our efforts to help the world around us, but it takes resources to do these things. For years, I've paid for a lot of these things out of my own pocket without hesitation. Or I've organized a benefit concert or some kind of fundraising campaign to provide these services for the people that God puts in my pathway. I will continue to give to these causes with everything that I have, but I need your support. It takes money and time to produce this podcast. Many hours go into praying over and organizing these messages, not to mention actually recording the messages and all the post-production editing and stuff that needs to happen with that. This ministry isn't about building an empire. It's about connecting hungry hearts with the fruit of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have no aspirations of becoming some wealthy preacher or tycoon ministry leader. I am content with the world that I live in, and my little world is pretty peaceful and satisfying. I definitely don't need the drama that comes along with big ministry and tycoon leadership egos. I'm just trying to make my tiny little piece of the world better. I need your support. So please pray about supporting this ministry financially. I will post links in the notes of this podcast so that you can send your gift online. Next, please subscribe to this podcast and leave a review so others can see what's going on here, especially your 5-star reviews. The more you review us, the higher we rank in search listings, and this allows people to discover us easier. Finally, please pray for this ministry. Pray God will provide for our needs here at the Truth Labyrinth. Pray that God will bring this podcast across the screens of those that need to hear these messages. The Bible tells us that God's ear is upon the lips of the righteous. Guys, He hears our prayers. And we need His constant guidance for each and every podcast and everything that Restoration Ministries does. So pray that He uses this podcast to turn hearts of stone into hearts of flesh, and that His truth will turn those hearts toward His eternal mercy and grace. Hey, thanks for listening to this podcast. My prayer is that it blessed you and brought you a fresh understanding of our lives in this world and our need for unity in Christ. A brush fire of revival in Jesus Christ is our only hope for satisfaction and true joy as we walk out the human experience that is our day-to-day lives. It's been my sincere honor to be your host today at the Truth Labyrinth Podcast. Be blessed and be a blessing to those around you. Till next time, I leave you with a scripture from Ephesians 6:23-24. Peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters, and may God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you love with faithfulness. May God's grace be eternally upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ.